Welcome to the Covenant Community Church podcast. We hope that this teaching will bless you. Share with us how God is moving in your life and how this message impacts you by emailing us at media@covenantcc.net. Are you ready? It's time for the Word.
Because he's about to make sense of what you've been going through in your life. You know, when you're going through this, a season of setback, a season of where you can't get ahead, a season of where one negative report after another, the season of where you wanted to quit, a season of where you buried the thing you love the most, the season of just hell on earth. You can't figure it out here. You just can't figure it out. It makes no sense. But as you begin to transition, you begin to go. And by the time you get to that, what almost killed you has made you better, not bitter. And God has a plan for your life, and he's going to unfold the rest of the story that you're going through right now. He's going to make sense in what doesn't make sense. He's going to give you victory where victory looks impossible. He is going to lead you to the rest of the story. Say amen. Romans chapter 8 verse 31 says, "What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He did not spare his own son, but gave him for us all. How will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things?" Graciously give us all things. Graciously give us all things. He's going to give us all things graciously. If God sent his only begotten son, the whosoever should believeth on him shall not perish but have everlasting life. God has no plans whatsoever of getting even with you later. God's not mad at you. God hasn't left you. God is not disappointed in you as long as you don't quit. And so what the Bible says, it says this: "For who then is it that condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died more than that, who was raised to life at the right hand of God, and is also praying, interceding for us. So therefore, listen, children of God, who shall separate us from the love of Jesus Christ?" Oh God, this makes you want to do somersaults. "Shall trouble? Shall hardship? Shall persecution? Shall famine? Shall nakedness? Or the danger of a sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are more than a conqueror through him who loved us. For I am absolutely convinced that neither death nor life, I am absolutely convinced, I am absolutely convinced, I am absolutely convinced." You want to know why you can be absolutely convinced? It's because you trusted him when you didn't understand him. You trusted him when you couldn't hear him. You trusted him when you didn't feel him. You trusted him when nothing made sense. You trusted him when all hell broke loose. You trusted him. You see, right now, you're praying, you're shouting, you're giving God praise. You don't miss Wednesdays, you don't miss Sundays. You want to know why? Because you know in the morning you got a devil to fight. Good God, help me this morning. I feel the Holy Ghost. "We were sheep as of slaughter, but no, 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 no. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to feed your hide to the carcass. Your brothers called you prideful. You showed up as a baby delivering lunch, and I'm going to eat you in front of your family. And I'm going to put you in slavery forever. No, 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 you won't. No, in all these things we are made more than a conqueror." In all of these things we are made more than a conqueror. What fool can't win a battle? But when you're a child of the living God, it ain't about being a conqueror. It's about being more than a conqueror. It's about being, in the Greek, a super conqueror. You know what a super conqueror is? It's a champion. It's a champion. And so Paul says to us, "Knowing all these things, we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that..." that neither death nor life, nor angels or demons, neither the present nor the future, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else. Somebody shout, or anything else. Nor anything else. Because when you get here and you watch God deliver you, you know that you didn't get here on your own. You know you wouldn't be here if it wasn't for what you fought. And you know you're here because you are what you fought. Anybody here feel the presence of the Holy Ghost this morning, or am I by myself? I wouldn't have been here had I not whipped that thing. I wouldn't have been here in the favor of God had I quit back there. I would have never seen the goodness of God had I failed in the land of the living. But I was faithful to God when I didn't understand Him. I was sincere in my faith. I began to serve Him. I tithed when I didn't have it. I shouted when I didn't want to. I came to a Bible study when I didn't even want to read the Bible. I began to believe what He said, no matter what my enemy said about me. I've been listening to that loud mouth smart aleck giant for the last 50 years, and I want you to know that I got to the place where I had enough. And you get over here, you don't know where God is. I get it. I've been there more times than I can count. But my goal is not to be a conqueror. My goal is to be a super conqueror. My goal is to win, because greater is He that is in me than he that's in this world. And when I get to this place, when you win some battles, listen, that's pretty good. But the problem is, a lot of you ain't won very many battles. And you're not a conqueror, a super conqueror, you're a conqueror. And you fought a battle and you thought, I'll win a couple of battles, I'll stay faithful to God, and He'll get me out of this hell. Not how it works. Victory is a process. But then all of a sudden you make it through it, and you follow the wisdom of transition to the place of favor. And you realize that you had to be faithful packing lunch for a bunch of people who didn't appreciate it. You realize you're 4'2" and he's 9'9". You realize you've been with them longer than you ever want to admit. You've learned how to live with your enemy, and that's half of the people's problem in here right now. You've learned how to live with your enemy. God does not want you to learn how to live with your enemy. He don't want you nurturing your alcoholism. He doesn't want you to just keep pushing down the fact you were molested. He doesn't want you to continue to self-medicate. He doesn't want you to learn how to live with your enemy, what's trying to destroy you, what the doctor has said. No, no. And if you make it through it, you'll look back in 15 years and something else will happen to you. And you go, don't sweat this. It's all going to work out. You ever notice older people who are saints don't get worked up as much as younger people do who are saints? Wanna know why? They've been through some stuff. They know God delivered them. Any older saints, lift your hands if you know God's faithful all the way down. He delivers you. Brother Bass, He delivers you. Sister Bass, He delivered you. And what used to cause a nervous breakdown makes you go, it's going to be all right, darling. I didn't get here because I ain't been through nothing. I'm here because I'm more than a conqueror. I'm walking in favor because God knew that if I wasn't faithful with this, He had never trust me with that. That can be as dangerous as this. You ever notice those jokers that win the lottery? Watch a TV show on A&E, and they win all this money, hundreds of millions of dollars, and then they're broke in a year and divorced and in jail because they tried to kill their wife. You know what I said to God this week? God, trust me with that just one time. Just one time. Amen. Not divorce. I'm talking about the money, Jenny. Just trust me with that one time, because I'm not going down. No, 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 no. I've been through too many fightings of giants. No. Mm-mm. I have learned to live in favor because I learned to live in no favor. Now I'm going to say something that's going to be very hard. I have won 8 pages and I got to one paragraph at 9 o'clock. But Paul said, I'm convinced that neither death nor life nor angels or demons or anything else in all creation will be able to separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Even in death, you don't lose if you're a Christian. But this is going to be a tough one. I need you to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 through 10. And I need you to understand that God's got a plan. And I'm probably not going to get any further in this service than I did the last one. But when something is rich, when you eat a cake that is rich, you eat it slowly. Now this is going to be tough, but I got a revelation for you on how to get out. Exactly how do you defeat what's been defeating you? Because God already unlocked the gate. He has the keys to death, hell, and the grave. So this thing you've been fighting all your life, your esteem because you were raped, your trust because your parents left you, you prayed and you thought that was the promotion for you and you never got it. Whatever you're fighting, cancer, leukemia, depression, you think that it's about the giant. Your whole world gets consumed in yesterday. And the giant locks you in an environment that says you're nothing and you're never going to amount to a hill of beans, and God didn't hear you and God doesn't love you and you've sinned so much that God can't stand your sight. You got to be very careful listening to the giant. Because if you listen to the giant, you will stay in slavery. 1 Samuel 17 says that the giant told David, if I win, I will take your freedom. And if I win, you will be my slave for the rest of your life. But if you win, if you listen to your enemy close enough, he'll tell you what you're doing right. If you win, I'll give you your freedom. You know what that meant in the Hebrew? It actually means that he would never pay taxes again and that he would be free. If only he can kill that. There's a lot of you that's been through trials because you haven't mastered obedience and you continue to fall over and over again after you've won some battles, but you never become more than a conqueror. There's some of you, though, however, that realizes that's not a giant. That's an opportunity. It's an opportunity out. It's an opportunity to get out. It's an opportunity to be free. You've been asking God to free you from addictions. You've been asking God to free you from the depression, from the divorce. You've been asking God to free you from the rejection at work. You've been asking God to do all these things, and it seems as if he didn't hear you. Because teachers really don't talk during tests. But when a giant shows up in your life, it's proof God heard you. Giants are always at the gate for a reason. They want to intimidate you and lock you into being a prisoner the rest of your life. So this is going to be painful, but how many of you want to go from this to that in a season of walking in no favor to a season of walking in great favor? Here's the first key. Because of the surpassing great revelations, because of the favor, because of being a more than a conqueror, because of whipping the lion, and because I defeated the bear, because of victory in my life previously, therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with God. When I was in the season of that, I promised, if you get me out of this, I'll marry Mother Teresa. I said, God, I'll go on the mission field. I'll tithe 20%. You make all kind of promises to God in this season of your life. And Paul said, 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. 3 times I asked him to heal me of cancer. 3 times I asked him to restore my wife. 3 times I asked him to give me the favor that I needed. 3 times I asked him. But the only thing he said to me in the season of this is, my grace is sufficient. Now, how many of you want power with God? Be careful lifting your hands. How many of you want power with God? It only comes through weakness. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest upon me. When you are at your weakest, the Bible says you are at your strongest potential ever. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in my weakness, in insults and hardship, persecutions and difficulty, because for when I'm weak, I'm strong. And that's so hard for a Western mind to say and to understand. When I'm weak, I'm strong. But weakness doesn't mean that you don't fight. Weakness doesn't mean that you give up and eat leeks and onions in Egypt. Weakness does not mean that you're not more than a conqueror. Weakness does not mean anything other than, you know, that had God not delivered you, you'd still be here. Weakness is humility. That everything that I get is what God has given me, and anything that I went through, I wouldn't have got out of it had not been for the hand of God. So I want you to hear me. I want you to begin to understand that God gives you a thorn and a giant, not so you will have an enemy, but so you will have an opportunity to be delivered. Your giant is an opportunity. And everyone has some kind of giant at their gate. But here's what the devil knows. If you ever defeat that thing, he'll move you from the sheep pen to the palace. He'll move you from the lack of favor to great favor. He'll move you from being a conqueror to being more than a conqueror. If you ever defeat that thing. See, where you're at is not your destination. It's your test. I know he's big. I know he's a smart aleck and a bully. And I know he looks like an enemy. But is it possible that God sent him to give me the strength to get out? And that if I ever whip him, if I ever whip fear, if I ever whip depression, if I ever whip what's trying to whip me, if I ever whip his blessed assurance, I'll get out of here. if I listen to him, I'll die in the desert a slave and be taxed the rest of my life as a prisoner. But that's not my enemy, that's my opportunity. This is not my destination. God didn't intend for me to live in depression all my life. But I'll never get out of depression until I whip him. Until you whip your enemy, you are never going to see your promised land. You got to realize that what you fought made you who you are. If you're a quitter, it's because you quit fighting. But when you get to a season of favor where God transitions you from this to that, it's in this season of that that you are who you fought. Had God given you what you wanted back there and did not require of you to fight, you would never be able to handle that season. Because what you went through, the hell you went through, wanting to quit, crying out, where's God, being mad at God. Anybody been mad at God? I have. Let me see your hands. The rest of you liars, keep your hands down. The season of being mad at God, where are you? Plead the blood over a car and I'm at a funeral home. Can you explain that to me? But had you not made it through that this season over here, you would have never been where you're at right now. Because victory is a process. It's this thing that leads to that thing. And if you don't whip this thing, you're never going to see that thing. Because God has a master plan. I want you to hear me. He has a master plan. It began with a lion. And then it graduated to a bear. And then the greatest battle of David's life showed up 9 foot 9 inches. And he whipped it and won his freedom. And as he was walking in the favor of God, Saul showed up. And he whipped Saul and went from the pig pen to the palace, the sheep field to the favor of God. But he would have never seen the favor of God, the answers to his prayers, had he ran from Saul. And he never would have had the courage to face Saul if he had not faced the giant. And because the giant showed up is proof that he also whipped the lion and the bear. Becoming more than a conqueror. Is a process. There's giants at the gate. A lot of us are just like I am. I want to skip the process. I was faithful, I did all that stuff, and you still didn't show up. I think life is like Monopoly. I collect $200 and I pass go. But not biblical life. Biblical life says that until you get to the place where you've had enough with the crap you've been dealing with, you will never see the promised land until you whip the giant. Everybody wants to jump over the process into perfection. And if you're not faithful in the process, you'll alienate your destiny. Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, timing is everything. Luke 16:10 says, if you're faithful in the little, God will trust you with the much. I mean, just exactly how do you think God is going to deliver you? Do you think he's going to place his fruit in people who quit? Do you think that he's going to give favor to people who lay down their sword and say, I give up? God loves everybody, but God doesn't invest his fruit in a loser, a quitter. God says, if you want to live in Egypt, you live in Egypt. You want to continue to be depressed all day, you do that. You want to continue to live with your giant, you continue to do that. But God also is saying that if you ever get the courage to stand up and to confront that thing which has been confronting you and get victory over it, you get victory over self-medication, you get victory over the depression from the divorce, you get victory in your life. There's not a devil demon in hell big enough to keep you down, because God says, that's my boy, that's my girl, she fights. You got to get to the place where you've had enough. You got to get to the place where you're tired of being drunk on Sunday and not being able to come to church because you stayed out too late on Saturday night. You got to stop blaming God. You can't win and go to the promised land being in the molly grubs and talking about how bad God is and how he didn't show up. No, 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 no. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. And I am not eating onions and leeks another day. I've had enough of crying myself to sleep. Let me tell you something. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes that there is a time for everything. And there is a time to weep. There is a time to bury. There is a time to have a setback. There is a time not to get your way. There is a time for all that stuff. But there is also a time to win. I must be just preaching to myself today. Whew. Well, I sit here until you die. You went out, whip it. It's not my battle, it's God's. But you're always going to be in depression until you learn how to whip it. You're always going to be defeated until you learn how to fight. You're always going to lose until you learn how to win. And sometimes it's as simple as blaspheming the Most High God and upsetting a little 12-year-old who has rage come up in his heart and throws the sword down and throws the helmet down and says, you uncircumcised Philistine. It's like, again, my grandma's dog, a Chihuahua. You can have a gun, he wasn't afraid of you. You can have a knife, he wasn't afraid of you. You could be 10 times his size, he wasn't afraid of you. He's going to come after you. Rusty. The theology of Rusty. But God sends you an enemy to prosper you. He sends you an enemy as a test. And if you ever conquer it, you're going to be a champion. But you can't conquer what you won't confront. You keep going to sleep with those thoughts of the man that raped you. You keep wishing that she'd come back when you know she left you. And does it deserve for you to love her back? You keep sleeping and pushing down all of those feelings of the molestation and keep sleeping and inoculate yourself to sleep through medicating with too much alcohol. You keep doing that and see where you're at in 5 years. You're still in this. Where you're at right now in your life is not a destination, it's a test. Don't despise where you're at. Be faithful to God.
If you ever want a glimpse of where you're going, get a glimpse and an understanding of where you've been. Because you are who you fought and what you whipped. I'll finish the rest of this next week, but let me tell you this right now. When I was in Africa, I was at the Lion and Rhino Park. And I noticed those lions when you're in them little buggies, because the door only comes up to right here. We're about from me to here, sometimes me to Moses. And I thought, what keeps that joker from hopping over here into this van? So the first thing that happened is my thought process went haywire. And I thought, well, if I got to outrun somebody, this healthy looking woman right here looks like a better meal than me, so all I have to do is outrun her. And God forbid, if I have to cut his heel, I'm going to win, but I'm not going to get eaten by a lion. You go through these morbid processes of trying to figure it out. I thought, why didn't that thing eat me? There's six of them. And so I was talking to the game director, and he said something real interesting to me. He said, lions fight other lions in the season of mating so that they can have the lioness. I thought, that sounds just like human beings. And I heard a person had been on a refuge one time say, no, that's not it. It has nothing to do with being human. The strongest lion wins because it's God's way of saying he will not let weakness reproduce. There is nothing in the world more dangerous than getting stuck in this and letting weakness reproduce. We call them biblically family curses. But God's smart. The fight is designed to kill the weakness. So I'm not fighting because God doesn't love me. I'm not fighting because, go ahead and come up here, Jeremy, but don't play. You mean I'm not fighting because God didn't leave me? I'm not fighting because I've had so much sin in my life, God has turned his back on me? I'm fighting because God sees greatness in me. My God in heaven, that's worth the price of a mission today. I'm fighting because God sees greatness in me. And he does not want me to reproduce my weakness. If I reproduce my weakness, I will never get out. But if I ever show my strength and whip this thing, I will win. The reason God sent you an enemy is so that you would not reproduce your weakness. But the enemy was a test in the midst of a process to make you great. So the next herd would be strong. I love genealogy. I've got my family traced back to 1510 now. Took years to do that. But I've noticed in some of my family, there's things I'm proud of and the things I'm ashamed of. I noticed that some of them had major problems with anger and others had problems with drunkenness. And I've watched the generations reproduce weakness. that every once in a while I'll see a champion who didn't go the way of dad and didn't go the way of mom and didn't go the way, no. It's the one that went out from the herd and said, I'll become more than a conqueror. And that I can get angry at God, I can get mad at God, I can blame God, or I can realize that he put a thorn as a gift in my flesh. This is going to be very hard theologically, but do you realize God can send you a demon because he loves you? What does the demon tell you? What? What do you mean God doesn't love me? Well, has he answered you? No. Are you in a season of lack? Well, kinda. I thought the Bible promised you more than enough. Well, I think that's in the scriptures. But if you ever see it as a test, as a gift, to cause you to gain the strength to whip the giant, you'll never lose another battle in your life. So one of you are going to go down today, and one of you are going to get out. One of you are going to pay taxes the rest of your life and never know freedom. And one of you will never pay taxes again. One of you will continue to cry yourself asleep. And one of you will wipe the tears away from your eye and say, I've had enough. One of you will be the master. And one of you shall be the slave. But if you ever confront you may be a champion. And as hard as this is to say today, your demon could have been a gift. And the fact that an enemy has showed up on your property tells me several things. Number one, God couldn't have forgotten about me. What? What did you say? I said, the fact that an enemy is on my property is proof that God did not forget about me. You've lost your mind. Oh, really? Go back to the conversation of God and Satan in the book of Job. And Job says Satan was roaming the earth. And Satan looks at God the Father and says, I'm looking for somebody to get my claws in. And God says, I mean, have you ever had God throw you underneath the bus? God says, have you considered my servant Job? I thought you were my homeboy. What do you mean? And Job didn't know this. I can't wait to talk to Job when I get to heaven because I want to know what he thought when he read the Bible. It's the first book of the Bible. I want to know what Job said. I mean, he had to have gone, are you kidding me? I pay my tithes. I'm faithful to church. I'm a righteous man. I hadn't done nothing wrong. And God says, hey, have you thought about making Job's life a living hell? Gee, thanks. And God says something very interesting, and we'll get there here in a couple of weeks, but he says, have you considered my servant Job? And Satan looks at him and says, you have a hedge around him. Do you realize that the devil doesn't know, that he knows, that Satan knows you've got God's favor on you? Is it going to get through your cerebrum cortex that anything you've gone through, God had to give permission? Job, Satan says, of course I haven't thought about Job. You've got a hedge around him. I can't touch him. The very fact that Goliath has showed up with his big, fat, bullying, sarcastic mouth is proof God loves you. Because that thing can't have access to this thing unless that person gives him access. Brings up a good question. How much can God trust you? Do you think for two flipping seconds that God would have said, have you considered Job? If God didn't know that Job wasn't going to come out a winner. As a matter of fact, God says, you will not touch his life. And then the access came. And God says, I am going to take that weakness in you and I am going to form it into greatness. I won't waste one tear. I won't waste one trial. I won't waste one second. You will not reproduce weakness because I do not and nor will I ever give my fruit to a quitter. But if you ever decide to fight and you get the courage to confront, you uncircumcised Philistine. Where did that happen with Job? He had to confront his best friends. You ever been through a tough time and had your best friends turn into smart Alex too? They give you dumb answers like, well, you still got another son. Somebody actually told my family that when we buried our brother. But then you begin to understand, even though you saw through a glass dimly, one day you'll know and understand everything. And you begin to realize that that thing made me who I am today. That thing was a gift and it was an opportunity out of hell. And I had to make a choice to fight or flee. You ever notice that David kept running towards what everybody kept running from? He's 9 foot 9 today, but tomorrow he'll be the king of Israel. And his name will be Saul. But wisdom comes from the battle of victory. And so the next time you meet your enemy and he's taking, I don't mean to be vulgar, but this is the Hebrew. He's taking a dump and you sneak up right behind him with the biggest knife you've ever had in your life. And you realize God's got to fight this battle. You can cut him at a vulnerable point or you can live by the word of God and touch not God's anointed. And say one more time, the battle is not mine, but it's God's. The last man standing wins. you're about to begin to gloriously unfold some wisdom, and that is the foolish part of you dies in the wilderness. But if you kill that thing, go ahead, Jeremy, you'll get it all. If you kill that thing and its influence and ignore your environment, you're going to win it all. Winning it all is dangerous if the weakness hasn't been confronted. Prosperity is more deadly than the deadliest disease. I pray for people all the time with cancer and sickness. But I also pray for people in this church who I see beginning to be very prosperous. There's something about a giant in your life that makes you pray. There's something about a giant in your life that makes you call out on God, because you know that you got a devil to fight in the morning. And I don't understand this, but every once in a while, God will let the righteous get kicked in the face so you won't go to sleep. But if you ever grow up and mature in God, you will live in the land of favor and victory as not a conqueror, but as a more than a conqueror. But that is absolutely impossible if you don't whip that. That is your test, and it is your opportunity out, and obedience will unlock the gate. You cannot conquer what you will not confront. I'm not going to ask you to come if you don't want to quit. I'm going to ask you to come if you want to be a victorious, born-again believer. You must choose you this day whom you're going to serve. Egypt or the God that splits the Red Sea? You are what you fought. And I don't know who I'm talking to, but I know that there's someone underneath the sound of my voice that has made up their mind not to quit. And you've had every good reason in the world to quit. But you're beginning to get a glimpse that God is in control. And he's beginning to gloriously unfold your future. Hope that had left for years is beginning to bubble up. And as the Apostle Paul said, you have learned to be contented with nothing or much. And you know that God has greatness deep down inside of you. You know that you were never meant to die in the desert. You knew and you know since you were a little child. And people can misinterpret the fact that you feel like there's destiny on your life, because David's brother said, you've been a prideful little snot since the day you were born. Well, that's not pride. Knowing who God created you to be. Knowing that you weren't created to be a loser. Knowing that God has destiny on your life. Knowing that you weren't meant to be destroyed by a giant. You were meant to be more than a conqueror. You weren't meant to win a battle. You weren't meant to win two or three battles. You were meant to win so many battles they called you a champion.
And the only way you can become a champion is to take away the one everybody else calls a champion in your life. The champion from Gath. Today, but I'm going to be the champion tomorrow. How do you become the champion tomorrow? You kick the lion's tail. You slit the bear's throat. You look at an uncircumcised Philistine and say, shut your mouth. I'm going to roll your head to kingdom come. I'm going to cut your head off, and then I'm taking it back to the gates of Jerusalem. And what everybody else runs from, I'm going to run towards. And I will not be your slave. Call me a dog. Call me a little runt. Is this the one you bring out to the great Goliath? Your arrogance is going to be your downfall. But so help me God, you are going down today. Every Philistine gasps for breath because the champion that considered himself the champion over you fell like an oak tree. When you made up your mind that you were going to confront so that you could be a conqueror. Every Philistine, the Bible says, ran. Do you realize that every devil, demon in hell will run from you if you ever confront it in Jesus' name? Do you realize you've been made more than a conqueror through Christ who strengthens you? Do you realize that you cannot lose if you do not quit? Do you realize God did not create you to be a loser? God did not create you to be in lack. God did not create you to die in the desert. God did not create you to lose everything. God did not create you to die of cancer. He didn't create you to be pregnant at 14. God did not create you to be a drunk. God did not create you to love meth. God did not create you to be in illicit sex. God did not create you to be a loser. He created you to be more than a conqueror. Yes. To whoop the lion, the bear, Goliath, and now Saul. To arrive at the season of favor with great character. Because talent can take you to a place that your character cannot keep you. And had you not fought the giant, and used the fight as a test, and saw it as an opportunity, and knew deep down in your heart that God was about to whip the weakness out of your heart. And through your weakness, He shall become so strong that what looks like as if it is impenetrable, the Holy Ghost will guide that rock of courage to the exact place that will make your giant fall. And you'll walk away a winner. And you'll walk away stronger. I know you limped back there. I know you cried yourself to sleep. But when you leave the season of this, you begin to walk with some courage. You begin to walk
and understand that God didn't leave you, and you begin to walk and understand He was a very present help in time of need. And then you begin to understand, had it not been for the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, where would I be? And you begin to give God praise because you know that there is absolutely nothing you're going to face tomorrow that God hasn't already taught you to face yesterday, and that you will not die in yesterday. You will die looking in tomorrow at the favor of God. The giant's a test. How many of you gotten anything out of this today? We're not going to prolong this. If you want to be a victor rather than a victim, you got to choose. You got 3 seconds today to do it. Now come and stand right here in front of me. Let me pray over you. 1, 2, 3. You want to be a victor or a victim? You want to eat onions and leeks, or do you want to eat grapes in the promised land? You're going to be a victor or a victim? You're going to see the giant as God leaving you, or you're going to see it as the fact that God is getting ready to deliver you? How are you going to look at the giant as stronger than you? As impossible, and win? There's nothing you've been through, nothing you're going to go through, that can by any means separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. If you want to be a victor, say amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for the thorn. I asked for victory and was expecting a crown. I asked for victory and I thought it was only one round. I asked for victory and the biggest, meanest bully of my soul showed up on my property. And I realized then that you had given me what I asked for. Release. But I had to confront and conquer. So I pray that everyone standing in here in front of me today will make up their mind to let God defeat the weakness in them by using the sparring partner of their enemy so that they can be prepared for the favor they're asking for. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you give God a hand clap of praise today?
We pray that you were blessed by this message. For more information about Covenant Community Church, please contact us at media@covenantcc.net or visit us online at covenantcc.net.